Black Wolf, written by Juan Gomez Jurado, read for you by Scott Brick. An Abyss. Antonia Scott has never been faced with such a tough decision. To others, her dilemma could seem negligible. Not to Antonia. While she may be capable of functioning several levels into the future, her mind is no crystal ball. She may have the ability to visualize dozens of disparate pieces of information simultaneously, but her brain doesn't work like in those movies where you see a whole string of letters superimposed on the face of the protagonist as they're thinking. Antonia Scott's mind is more like a jungle full of monkeys leaping at top speed from vine to vine, carrying things. Many monkeys and many things swinging past one another in midair, baring their fangs. Today, the monkeys are carrying dreadful things, and Antonia is afraid. This isn't a feeling she is accustomed to. After all, she has seen herself in such situations as a high-speed nighttime boat chase in the Strait of Gibraltar, a tunnel packed with explosives, where a kidnapper was pointing a gun at the head of a particularly valuable hostage. What happened in Valencia? Her astuteness saved her on the day of the speedboats. She let those in front of her crash, and her knowledge of words for animals in the tunnel. As for Valencia, no one knows how she came out alive. The only person who did from that massacre. She has always refused to talk about it. But she survived and didn't feel afraid. No, Antonia is afraid of almost nothing apart from herself. Afraid of life, maybe. After all, she relaxes by imagining for 3 minutes every day how she could kill herself. Those are her 3 minutes. They're sacred. They're what keep her sane. In fact, it's that time now. But instead of being immersed in the calm of her ritual, Antonia is sitting in front of a chessboard. The pieces are red and white. One of Antonia's bishops could make an easy checkmate. Red to play and win. A simple decision. Not for Antonia. Because on the far side of the board is her son Jorge, staring at her, eyes narrowed. Behind those green half-moons, she senses all the ill humor and defiance contained within his 4-foot frame. "Make your move, Mom," says Jorge, giving a slight kick under the marble table. "I'm bored." He's lying. Antonia may not know what to do, but she knows when someone is lying. Jorge is waiting expectantly to see whether she moves her bishop and beats him so that he can fly into a tantrum at losing. Or conversely, if Antonia moves a different piece to blow his top because she's let him win. Antonia is rescued from her paralysis by a buzz on her cell phone. A florid face appears, red-headed and very Basque-looking. The vibrating phone makes the chess pieces dance on their squares. John knows she is with Jorge. This is her third visit since the judge decided, against the wishes of the boy's grandfather, to give her a second chance. She is on probation. John wouldn't phone if it weren't truly urgent. Antonia shrugs an apology and stands up to take the call, turning her back on her son's frustration and on the impassive social worker endlessly taking notes in a corner of the room. However relieved she is to dodge the situation with this pretext, Antonia has already decided this was a game she couldn't win, which she likes even less. Part 1. Antonia. A man might befriend a wolf, even break a wolf, but no man could truly tame a wolf. George R. R. Martin. 1. A body. John Gutierrez doesn't like